Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Salt and Light Sisterhood podcast. Or if you're listening for the first time, welcome. Today we're going to be finishing up part two of my anxiety episode. So if you are listening for the first time, feel free to go back and listen to the previous episode to get caught up to where we are now. Just as a quick reminder, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a counselor or a pastor or anyone even remotely qualified to treat anxiety or mental health issues. I am just one person talking about her experiences in the hopes that it might help anyone out there listening to not feel quite so alone and to be encouraged that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And it's good to share. It's good to be vulnerable with each other. As I mentioned in the last episode, if you're experiencing any anxiety, depression, panic, or any other feelings of hopelessness, please find someone to talk to. Please find a professional, a doctor, a friend that you trust, anyone. And just keep talking until somebody listens and takes you seriously. Don't give up. So today I want to talk about some of the practical things that I did to recover. Because these are the things that I did that you could do to have some semblance of control in your life if you choose. What I did was when I realized finally what I was going through from a mental, spiritual, and physical perspective, I decided to research those three areas and do whatever I could for each of those areas to recover. So I'm going to start with physical. First thing I did after researching was I weaned myself off of sugar and almost all caffeine. I still continue to have a small cup of coffee in the morning just because I love coffee. So I read in multiple places how sugar and caffeine can contribute and actually make your anxiety a little bit worse. I also read that if you're in a state of adrenal fatigue because of you've had high levels of anxiety and stress over a long period of time, sugar and caffeine do not help to heal that issue. So that's one thing that I did. Secondly, I began trying to choose healthy options for what I ate every day. And this was kind of a slow process for me. But the idea was being that I would fill myself up with good things since my mind felt like it was filled with so much bad. And this will come into play a little bit later as well. So I tried to eat mostly fruits and veggies and lean meats. I tried to stay away from bread and starchy foods, things that contained a lot of sugar, things that were processed. I tried to buy organic if I could and tried to find the cleanest foods to eat that were within our budget. And that seems to always be an issue for everyone as, you know, I don't have a lot of money. It only costs a couple of dollars to get a meal at McDonald's. I get that. I completely understand. Again, there's no judgment in this. I'm just telling you what I did. That contributed to me recovering. Thirdly, still on the physical aspect of things, I began to walk or ride my bike every single day, even if it was just for a few minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, it was some kind of activity. And again, if you do any research, if you read anything about anxiety, they'll tell you how good just a little bit of exercise can be for you, a little sunshine, a little physical activity. It naturally releases endorphins into our bodies, which are our natural happy chemicals. So it's a natural way to uplift your spirit and get your body moving just a little bit. So that's one of the things I did. Those are some of the physical things. That's not everything, but that's a short list of what I did for the physical side. So next, from mental perspective, and keep in mind, I'm doing all these things simultaneously, but I'm breaking them down by mental, physical, and spiritual, just to kind of make it a little more simple. So from a mental perspective, I read a couple of really incredibly important books that totally changed the game for me. The first one that I read is Hope and Help for Your Nerves by Dr. Claire Weeks. Now, this book was published in 1969, which I definitely realize you may be thinking to yourself, how can a book this old be relevant to me today? And I didn't realize when I read the book that it was that old, but as I was reading it and I realized like the lingo and the language was a little dated. I looked it up and realized it was written so long ago, but trust me, I began reading this book when I was in my absolute worst state of mind with panic and anxiety, when I wasn't even able to leave the house at that point. And it was an eye-opener for me. For one thing, I realized right away that not only was I not alone, but even that far back in time, this was such a big issue that Dr. Weeks dedicated her life to helping people and bringing her methods to the mainstream. Because back then, and even to some degree today, the mentality is to treat the symptoms. And while that's great and it's important, we also have to sort of get to the root of things and understand not only why this is happening, but what is happening, and begin to find new ways to think and adapt our mind and change our mind about what's going on. And that's really what helped me. So I don't want to try to paraphrase what she puts because she writes so beautifully, but basically she tells you what's happening in your body from a biological perspective. And in your mind, she tells you what you may be afraid of, how you may be acting, how, your different behaviors, such as staying in the house, being afraid to go to the grocery store, being afraid of driving. And she teaches you how to begin thinking a little bit differently about your fear and about your anxiety, which allows you to start to take back control of your mind. I cannot begin to recommend Dr. Weeks's books enough. And if you're interested, there's also audiobooks. She has the most soothing, peaceful voice. So some of the audio stuff was really helpful for me. I'd put my earbuds in while I was doing something around the house and listen to her, and it was really, really helpful. And she has other books as well, but this is just the one that I ended up reading. The second book that I read was Dare by Barry McDonough. And I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I'll post the book references on our Facebook page. So both Dr. Weeks and Barry McDonough have experienced the absolute worst anxiety and panic that you can imagine. So immediately I trusted their methods because I felt like who's better to teach me than those who had already gone before me, who had already experienced it and come out the other side stronger and more confident. So I don't know if that's important to you, but that was really important to me because at this time, I'd finally started speaking to a counselor, a couple of different counselors, in fact, and I asked them, "Have you ever experienced anxiety?" And I got very generic responses of, "Oh, well, everybody experiences anxiety," and I knew they had no idea what I was dealing with. So I didn't entirely trust them, and I don't know if that's a popular idea or not, but that's just my own personal feelings and beliefs. So, Hope and Help for Your Nerves by Dr. Weeks and the Dare book by Barry McDonough, the methodology is very much the same. I felt like the difference between the two is that Dare is very current. It's not that old of a book, and the language and terminology used is probably a little more familiar to what we hear today. And he also has audiobooks and even a free app that you can download and listen to. If you happen to be out and about, you don't have time to read a book, or you're driving, so you can't read, you can listen to those things while you're driving and continue to absorb those ideas. Excuse me. A little later on, when I was further along in my recovery, I also found the book Anxious for Nothing by Max Lucado, and I've always been a very big fan of his books, and I enjoyed this one too. So, I recommend those three books. Outside of reading everything that I could find on anxiety, I also began weeding anything negative out of my life that I could. So I began avoiding Facebook and social media in general, and also the news in any format, whether it's online or in a newspaper or you're watching it on TV. I stopped completely. Again, the thinking behind this was I need to pour all the good things that I can into myself, so that I can begin to overbalance the bad. And I think there comes a point where we realize I'm getting way too much bad and not enough good in me. And I think all of us begin avoiding Facebook at a point, just to sort of avoid that. But think about the different areas in your life where you're just receiving constant negativity, and think about how that you can, you know, either block that or avoid it in order to just get yourself back to a better place. I stopped watching horror movies, which for anybody that knows me knows I have always loved horror movies and scary books. I've been watching and reading those since I was a kid. I stopped watching true crime and listening to true crime podcasts. And I want to stop right here and say, I am not telling anyone that they should or shouldn't do any of these things. I'm just here to tell you what I did and what I think worked for me. So I began to understand that because I'm an incredibly sensitive person, and I tend to take on a lot of the things that are around me from an emotional perspective, I realized I was just absorbing way too much ugliness around me. I was becoming scared and suspicious and negative myself. I was seeing the worst in people because that's what I was hearing and seeing every day through all these different media formats. So I knew that I needed a reset. I needed to hit that reset button and build a hopeful and peaceful foundation in my mind. And I felt like the only way to do that was to wipe, you know, the slate clean. I knew that I could not become hopeful and peaceful while I continued to fill myself up and pour negativity into myself. So I started watching old black and white movies, Disney movies, documentaries about the planet, about God, about nature. I was reading the books about anxiety, reading Christian books, you know, anything that felt safe to me, anything that I felt that I could expose myself to and not trigger fear. I also journaled every day, pretty much several times a day, especially in the beginning. And again, this is one of those things that really helps people with anxiety because it helps you to become mindful and begin seeing patterns in your thinking and in your anxiety. I also began to open up areas in my past through my journaling that I'd avoided thinking about, which helped me to kind of slowly begin working through those things. Things from my childhood, things from my 20s, things 4 years ago when my dad passed away. Journaling just really, it's like it pulled the Band-Aid off and allowed things to begin, you know, flowing and healing in a more organic way. Journaling is so incredibly important. I wish I could just force people to journal. Anybody, even if you're not in a horrible state of anxiety, journaling is such a beautiful thing. When you go back and read the things that you've written, you realize how far you've come, the things that you've overcome, and it helps you to become a more grateful person. It helps you to become a little more open to the things that are going on around you. I used to hate writing, and now I can't stop. So, I also did about a million jigsaw puzzles, which sounds a little silly, but they're really nice because they take a lot of focus and a lot of concentration, and it helps to get your mind on something else when you're having a really bad anxiety day or night, you know. I also cleaned the daylights out of my house. I'm talking grout, baseboards, windows, mirrors. I cleaned everything. If I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, which I did frequently for about 6 months, I got up and I cleaned. Excuse me. The idea behind that being that if I'm already awake and I have all this nervous, anxious energy in my body, why not use it for something good and productive? And believe me, it helped. Each time I completed something, I cleaned something or I finished a jigsaw puzzle, I was able to feel a little victory, a small victory, and celebrate that and slowly begin to build my confidence again. So that is the mental perspective. Now we're going to get to the meat and potatoes, the final area, which is spiritual. And for me, the most capital letters important area, which is why I saved it for last. I understood almost immediately that my anxiety was not only a result of everything I'd already mentioned previously, my childhood, you know, the neural pathways that I developed during childhood and throughout my life, pouring nothing but negativity and murder and crime and all those things into my life, it was also a huge spiritual issue. Not only a spiritual attack, which I believe it was, but also I was not in relationship or fellowship with God. And I'm a believer. So I can't continue to deny and live out my life without God, outside of fellowship with Him. It's not who I am anymore. So I read the Bible, which sounds super simple. But for me, for some reason, I had always in the past just read whatever was on the outline at church or Bible study when I was attending church and Bible study, which I wasn't at this time. Now I was reading to learn. I was soaking up God's word, highlighting all the scripture that really impacted me where I was in life. I journaled all of it, my thoughts, my fears, my victories, my prayers, the scriptures that I found that I really loved, the books I was reading, how much water I drank, how much I walked, literally everything. I journaled everything. And it was so incredibly healing for me. It gave me something to do, something productive. And surprisingly, I learned so much about myself through those nights of journaling and praying and reading the Bible. And it's funny to me because that's not what I started out to learn. I wanted to learn the Word of God. I wanted to learn who He was. And I did learn a lot of that. But through that time, God also revealed who I was through His Word. And that's what He does. There's never just one goal with Him. He's always working in multiple areas of our lives, even when we don't realize it. So through reading His Word, He whispered His encouragement to me. He covered me under His wing. He lifted me up. He gave me gratitude and humility. He taught me surrender. He taught me joy. And talk about a game changer. All that I'd already mentioned to you that I did with, you know, trying to eat better, with the exercise, journaling, and avoiding, you know, some of those negative things. All those things I feel like opened me up to receive God's word, cleared my head of all the clutter, and gave me a blank canvas for God to paint on. And I feel like that's the imagery that I have in my head. That's the best way that I can describe it. So while God was revealing Himself to me and healing me and encouraging me, while I was learning His word, it was like my eyes were open for the very first time in my life. And I began to see others around me too. First, those that were closest to me, obviously, that were in my immediate circle, my sweet husband, my family, and my friends. I began to see them really clearly for the first time in my life. I began to see their flaws and, believe it or not, celebrate them, because I realized they're human too. They're struggling in their own ways too. And that was beautiful for me. I began to see their beauty. I began to see the things that I admired about them and respected, and I celebrated those things too. As I was forgiving myself for my own past and my own mistakes, for my humanity, I began to do that with those around me. And that vision just expanded to include others. And it's still expanding now. My eyes are still being opened. You know, it's a work that's never finished on earth. God began to put a desire in me to reach out to others, to help someone else. He was healing me. He was taking me to another place in my journey with Him, a brand new place. And He showed me that if I'm experiencing this, and I'm reading about this in a book from 1969, and I'm reading about all these crazy things that happened in the Bible to, you know, strong men and women who were walking in faith, I'm definitely not alone. I can't be alone in my anxiety. So He put that desire in me to try to reach out to other people. What if I learned something that could help someone else? What if I could give someone what I had learned and it gave them even just a few minutes of peace and hope. So I continued journaling and praying and thinking about how can I do that? And it really just started with me sharing what I was experiencing with my loved ones and the people around me. And I figured out very quickly who cared and wanted to listen and reach out to me and find out how I was doing and who didn't. And believe it or not, I forgave those that didn't want to be there for me, which even saying that now sounds crazy because that's never been my way. If you can't be there for me in my worst times, then you shouldn't be there with me in my best times. But I was in a different place. I understood, you know, I don't know what's going on in their life. They didn't know that this was going on in mine. They didn't know how deeply I was struggling with anxiety my entire life. I don't walk a mile in their shoes. It may not be that they don't care to be there for me. It may be that they're in their own personal struggle right now. So anyway, I can continue down this road forever. I have so many thoughts about that. But my point is that I made a choice and a decision to take back control of my mind. And I decided that no matter how weary, no matter how tired, how hopeless I felt in each moment, I was going to keep doing everything in my power to recover. And honestly, I think the decision was just as important as the steps. And I had to keep making that decision over and over again every single day. God, I trust you. I would say that to myself. Jesus, I trust you. I don't feel great in this moment. I'm scared. I feel weak. I trust you. I'm gonna keep trucking. I'm gonna keep marching along because I know you're doing a work in me. I know you're healing me. So I did that over and over again every single day. So let me share some scripture with you. I would encourage you to look them up and read them, pray over them, find your own scripture, pray over them, write them down. Oh, and find a church. Just go. You know you need to do it. I'm not going to judge anyone for what they do or don't do, but honestly, you're not doing yourself any favors if you're not seeking God's word. If you're a believer and you're not seeking God's word, find a place to worship, find people to fellowship with. Will you find people that you don't like? Of course. There's people you don't like everywhere. Will you find people that you don't connect with? Of course. That's everywhere. That's not just church. But bear in mind, you don't know what's going on in their thought life. Only God does. You may see one thing on the outside. You don't know what's taking place on the inside. So don't be quick to judge if you can help it. Okay, so here's my scripture verses. These are directly from my journal, which I wrote in my absolute worst state of mind. I don't have time to give you all of them. I'm just going to give you as much as I can without hopefully wearing you out. So let's start. The first one I have here is John 8:32. You shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. The truth is Jesus. So just know him, look him up, read about him. I recommend him highly. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought to obey Christ. I love that one. I love all of these. Fix your thought on what is your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's Philippians 4:8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Oh, I love that. That's Romans 8:1 through 2. Here's another of my favorites. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice saying, "This is the way, walk in it." That's from Isaiah 30:21. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. That's from Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 is a big one for people with anxiety. It's a good one. So that was Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Oh, I love that. John 7, 38. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 15, 13. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. That's Psalms 34, 4 and 5. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Psalms 51, 12. That was a big one for me because that's something I, well, all of these were. I don't know why I'm saying that, but restore me to the joy of your salvation. Take me back to the time when I was saved, when I was so overcome with joy and wonder at the salvation that I had received. And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. I mean, someone is writing this asking for exactly what I was asking for. Sustain me. How do you sustain me? Grant me a willing spirit. Let me accept what's happening right now. Let me trust you, Jesus, and restore me back to the joy of your salvation. Oh, I love that scripture. It's so good. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. That's 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11. This was a massive one for me, because this was when I really began to realize the spiritual warfare that I was under. And it was also scripture assuring me the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Again, he's telling me, you're not alone. Everybody on earth is either in the midst of a storm, coming out of a storm, or potentially about to go into a storm. We all suffer. But the word tells us, the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ, after we have suffered for a little while, will himself restore us and make us strong, firm, and steadfast. So we know we're going to suffer for a little while. How can we be healed if we're not suffering? There's no healing if there's no sickness. There's no restoration if there's not something that needs to be restored. We're going to suffer for a little while. Trust in him. The word promises us. He himself will restore us and make us strong, firm, and steadfast. That's a good one. I spend time in that. I'm going to spend more time in that. That's good. Here's another good one. For our light momentary affliction, and this actually, I written this one down in the Amplified version because I loved the extra detail that they put in there. So whatever version of the Bible that you enjoy reading, you may get a different reading of it. For our light momentary affliction, this slight distress of the passing hour is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. So, you know, our light momentary affliction, and while it may not feel light or momentary at all, but it certainly feels like an affliction, we're being prepared. We're being strengthened. We're being built into something. It's producing something in us. And there's going to be glory at the end of this. There's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. And that one's 2 Corinthians 4:17. And again, that's the Amplified version. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. I could go on and on. I have 3 journals full of scripture. So I'll stop there. But my point is that you may not understand this as I didn't at that time, there's a lot of scripture that applies to you. It takes time thinking through it, prayer, journaling. That's what it took for me. So be encouraged. Dig around in the Bible. Don't be afraid to Google anxiety. Don't be afraid to Google hope and fear and find the verses and then go, you know, look them up in your Bible and rip. That's what I did. There's no shame in that. And as I mentioned on the last podcast, the part 1 episode of anxiety, find a daily devotional that you can read. There's free apps on every phone you can imagine. You don't have to pay anything. It'll send you automatic notifications each day to remind you to read your scripture. And it's all right there for you. There's no research involved. But I would definitely encourage you to research on your own and dig around on your own too, if you have time and if you so desire. Thank you so much for listening today. If you have any thoughts, any prayer requests, any scripture, anything that you would like to share, please feel free to join our Facebook page, Salt and Light Sisterhood, if you're not already a member, and you can comment there. I'll be posting the books that I mentioned on our page. You can also email if you'd like to keep your comments or prayers or your thoughts private. I will be glad to respond. Our email is saltandlightsisterhood@gmail.com. If you have any questions for me, or if you want to hear more of my story or want to pray together, please reach out. That's the whole reason why I'm doing this. I'm not getting paid for this podcast. I have a job. I'm doing this because I feel like God wants me to. I feel like He's called me to just be vulnerable and just to obey Him. And hopefully it brings a little bit of encouragement. So let me close us in prayer. Oh, Father, the journey we've been on together is just, it feels so good to share what happened, what you've done for me. It's exciting to me to be where I am now and to think back of where I started. I'm so grateful for the storm that you sheltered me through, that you allowed me to experience in order to come out the other side a brand new person, maybe closer to the person that you created me to be. It's one step at a time, God. And I just pray, if there's anybody listening that needs your hope and your peace and your comfort and your joy, I pray, God, that you would just lay your hand on their hearts. I pray that you would cover them under your wing, shelter them. Father, I pray that you would speak through me, that anything that I do in your name would glorify you. I pray that nothing I've said is harmful or discouraging to anyone else, God. And I pray that if there's anybody listening that needs a shoulder, needs an ear, that you would give them the courage to reach out to someone, even me, even if I'm a stranger, God, somebody, that they would share their heart and their struggles with someone and allow someone to help them carry that burden and encourage them in you. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you changed in me through your word and through our time together. And I feel like a survivor. I feel like we went through a traumatic experience together and came out the other side, and now we have that bond. God, and I wouldn't change it. It was a horrible experience. I would not change it because of the relationship I have with you now, God. And I love that I'm in a place that I can say that now, and I can be grateful for that storm. God, I love you, and I thank you. Thank you for this podcast, for this opportunity to share. And I just pray that you would keep us all safe as we go forward through our weekend and our week. And I pray all these things. I lift all of this up to you in your Son's precious, pure, and matchless name, Jesus. Amen.